wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
I'm Eric.
We are not in the new basement studio in the lake. We are still in our other satellite studios for reasons that we will discuss at a great length in the future.
Yeah, pretty soon, I think, right?
Pretty soon, yeah. We have some big stuff coming to the channel. But of course, this is the mothership. We've been away. We missed a week because we have been very busy with all our different projects.
And sick.
And sick. You were sick. And
yep.
Your sick experience. Do you want to discuss that?
Well, let's discuss it in the context of one of our topics.
Okay. We have some old news to pick up. Before I get into the news, can I say, so I'm working with someone who, in conversation the other week, we were all even work around the same time, and she had her phone out, and she was looking, you know, a map. And I'm like, what are you looking at? And she's like, well, I'm looking for the location of some one of these scooters. And I'm like, what do you mean? Didn't you drive to work? And she's like, no, I can make money by picking up the scooters, taking them home, charging them, and then putting them back out on the street. So obviously, yeah, this piqued my interest, knowing that we had spoken about scooters. And apparently, you know, she sort of has a, not a license, but she has the special app that one of the companies down will send you.
Right.
And then you have she has a code on her phone that will clear the scooter, allow her to move it, either ride it or throw it in her car. She takes it home. She was explaining to me that she's bought like extra power strips and stuff. And at any one time, she's got four or five scooters in her front room that she's charging for 4 to 5 hours. And then she just takes them back out to a location. You know, there's apparently specific locations. And then she gets paid $20 a scooter or whatever it may be. And I didn't know that.
Is that much? So I thought we talked about it. I knew about this. And I've seen people with, you know, a truck, pickup truck, and just throwing all the scooters in the back there, and I read about people taking them back to their place, but I don't know the compensation scheme. I know that, you know, you probably can, but like just keep it, you know, wander around noon and put them out there. You know, their idea is that you charge it and you get the stuff out there early so people can use it, but maybe there's incentives or different prices depending upon what you actually do.
She told me
it's part of the gig economy, they call
yeah,
it, right?
She told me that they have to have them back to one of these sort of preset locations,
right,
by 7 a.m.
Okay,
or something.
So that's
like
early,
that.
Right?
So but I think that's if, but again, that was presuming that she picked it up at, you know, in the evening after work. So I'm guessing there's a window there. And she'd emailed one of the other companies to see if she could get the same information for them. But basically, you know, she said there was a moment last week when she made like $55 a night from having a hole. Now, of course, four or five scooters going.
That's not the
And I said,
like,
how long do you have to charge them for? And basically, there's like it's not like you have to plug them in and leave them all night. You can plug them in for like 2 or 3 hours and just boost them back over the level, and then you take them back out there.
Have we talked about the fact, I think a bunch of them, their motors are made by the Segway people. You know, the Segways were that stand-on thing and really never took off as a big thing of its own. But I always think it's interesting, the scooters are such a rudimentary version of the same thing, but apparently Segways made a lot of money off of selling their electric motors to these guys.
Well, that's the thing, and I'd always presumed that, like, it. Doesn't a Segway power itself as it goes, though? Wasn't that sort of the point of it?
No, it's still
okay.
Short. Like,
no,
like, you know, there's no perpetual motion machines in the world.
No,
just
that's
yet.
True. But I remember last summer when we rode the electric bikes, and that had that little solar panel on the back.
I think that's more to run the radio stuff for turning it on and off.
Okay.
I don't think there'd be enough power generated off the small plant and thing. You know, which, by the way, so Jump is the electric bikes,
right,
which is an Uber-owned company. And now the scooters are, I'm sure, as you've seen, they're out in force, and there's now Jump scooters. So Uber's rolled out. Like, so now both Lyft and Uber have their own brands of scooters out there. So that now it's all like when you pull up the app for Uber or for Lyft, it will show you the scooters too. So if you don't want to go that far, it's kind of, you know, we've talked about the fact that the driver is eventually going to be made obsolete. And I guess they're figuring, well, there's a bunch of people who need to go 3 or 4 blocks and they don't want to spend $10. But and they've changed the pricing on a bunch of them so that supposedly maybe the Jump bikes got their pricing changed. Basically, it's better for short trips
yes.
and worse for long trips now. Like
yeah.
that, like the minimum price is much lower. because you just pay. But if you're going for somewhere for a half an hour, you're going to end up.
I mean, there's
more.
Like three or four different brands that I see, because I see them like everywhere.
A lot of bird. There's even like a little bird office by our office. Like, and at first I thought it was just an ad in the window, and then I saw people in there with a bunch of scooters. So I think it's their little. It's right at the corner of 20th and K.
I'm still surprised that I've never seen. I've seen the Capital Bike Share trucks out. Now, yeah. Again, that's because the Capital Bike Share bikes go back into the dock. So obviously, if there's a dock near you,
yeah, they have to
you see the truck there. But I've never seen someone, you know, either removing scooters or dropping them. They all just suddenly
appeared. No, I've seen a few times, but that's maybe because I'm right at this main intersection where a lot of come and go.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. That, mm-hmm.
And you're still afraid to ride them? I mean, now the time of year, we probably should go out there and ride them.
No, absolutely. No, people in my family are going, yeah, we need to get the apps for the scooters. And I'm like, I just keep forwarding people articles about people falling off and giving themselves brain damage and all that sort of thing. I must say, though, what might convince me to be on a scooter is the fact that because the weather's nice and I'm back riding my bicycle to work, people just leave these things just lashed out everywhere, and I've nearly come a cropper on the bike path running across a scooter.
I'm actually pretty surprised. Because everybody knows that that's a sensitive topic, I'm kind of, whenever I see one just laying out somewhere, I'm like, don't people know that, like, this is the one part of these things that everybody's a little frustrated with? Yes. Why are you not tucking it up against a wall or something?
Tuck it against the wall, lean against a lamppost. I've just seen them strewn.
Yeah, they're just lying on their side in the middle of the sidewalk.
Yeah, so I'm sure in a strange way, you know, when we talked about the rental bikes, that might be the tipping point with, you know, local and area councils and governments that, hey, someone's got to do something about these things. Again, some poor old grandma's going to trip up on it on her way to the store or something. I don't know. I don't feel it's a good thing. But anyway, if you're interested in earning a bit of extra pocket money, apparently you can apply to basically be a charging agent. And she told me, yeah, I didn't have to do anything. Just filled out a form online and then they get either Venmo'd or wired the money a couple of days later.
They have to give you adapters, I guess, to charge it, right? Because you can't.
Yeah, it's something like that, yeah.
Something, and you probably have to put some big deposit on them so that you don't walk off with their adapters.
Yeah, and I think she lives in one of those big apartment buildings where, you know, you're just charging it up and, you know. So I think
if your electric's included, it's a good deal.
Oh, yeah, then you're making money for nothing. So then, you know, it's an update on an old story.
Yeah.
Talking of transportation, we might as well go there right now.
Yeah, a quick article that was in the Post about the Supreme Court, or no, U.S. Appeals Court for the Sixth Circuit, which I forget which area of the country that is, but that's just below the Supreme Court, ruled that the marking of tires with chalk is unconstitutional. Now, people may not know what this is.
Please explain. I was about to say.
Nowadays, with like parking meters and automated things, but it used to be if you had a 2-hour parking neighborhood, and you could park there, it was no charge. There's no meters or anything like that. What the parking enforcement people would do is they would mark your tire with a piece of chalk.
Right.
And I don't know for sure, but I assume that it was like clock spots. Because what they're trying to do is be able to come back and figure out, have you been there for how long? Now, they could be just marking it and they know they were there 2 hours ago and they marked a certain number of cars. But I also think they might mark them like, you know, if you're there at 6 o'clock, mark a line down the bottom and then come
I was
back
always
and
under
that.
The assumption how it worked, because I live in an area where there's a lot of this. There's a lot of like sort of neighborhood. There's a lot of mixed use streets. So therefore, people are living the next street over from a line of shops or something like that. And it tends to be neighborhoods like that where it's not all sort of consumers and visitors. It's a lot of residents. So, you know, those areas have to have some form of parking where residents are not paying to park on their own street. I'd always presumed that the dude on chalk duty would roll by with his long stick and a little bit of chalk at the bottom. He'd mark the tire. And then basically, if he rolled back 2 hours and 5 minutes
later, that would be the simpler way. The trick would be
give a ticket to anyone who was still there.
I guess you'd have to figure out.
If he chalks it up at 11 o'clock.
It just means you're not really catching everybody at 2 hours. Like, you'd have to basically come every two. Like, if you wanted to kind of keep track of things every half hour, you really couldn't do it that way because you'd have to know what time you did that. Maybe there's some marking system where you do it minutes thing or something.
At the end
like
of
that.
The day, though, and I've never been in parking enforcement as a profession.
And I really had meant to look up like how are these things marked.
So I think these dudes, they just have to ticket cars It's not like they're attempting to catch every car.
No.
They're just trying to take a whole load of cars. Right. And this was the old-fashioned way of doing it.
Right. So what the court ruled was that this is a form of trespass requiring a warrant. In other words, that the car is sort of part of your personal space or personal to you, things like that, that they can't just go marking it and like take control any more than they can throw a GPS unit onto your car to like track you down without probable cause and the like. So like, but this has been done for years, but so to turn around this way is kind of interesting. And then here's the Sixth Circuit. It covers Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. And the court case came from a lawyer who was engaged in some Facebook rant about their law partner got ticketed for a chalk tire. And it's almost like, to summarize, by the way, this in the Post by Fred Barbash.
We'll put a link on the blog
around there. But it's almost as if the lawyers took it for the heck of it. Like, you know, they were lawyers. It was their own time. They're not paying anybody. But they said, you know what? This is really obnoxious that people do this. And we're going to go ahead and bring a case that says under the Fourth Amendment, the U.S. Constitution bars unreasonable searches and then counting this as a search and kind of covering all that stuff. So they won their case, at least in the appeals court. It'll be interesting. It's one of those ones where does anybody bother going past that, right? Like, because, you know, it on a whim, is anybody going to actually, like, on the government side, try to appeal it going the other direction? Now, because it's only in the one circuit, it's technically only the law of the land there. And so I don't think it's going to change anybody's activities in other locations. But
no, but it might set a precedent for someone else who's going to get their bee in their bonnet about it.
Right. You know, they could basically, that's what people normally do is they follow up that case. But, you know, it's kind of whimsical. I mean, who really, you know, how many, first of all, the other thing is I also think it's got to be obsolete in a lot of places because, I mean, certainly in D.C. and maybe this is more popular metropolitan areas, all the parking stuff is automated. There's no free parking for 2 hours anywhere that anybody would have to do this marking. It would cost you more to do the marking than it does to just put a meter in or now you use an app, the Park Mobile app.
You know me well enough that if I said to you, you know something, I don't like anything that represents the man keeping me down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think historically I would be the sort of person who'd be cheering here. Like, yay, making it harder to give people like me tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, as I've got older, of indeterminate middle age, and I'm all in for my community, this is only going to make it easier for people to park illegally. My feeling is, and I get the argument that it's an extension of your property, and so therefore it's a violation of your rights. But at the end of the day, I don't know. This is the system. I mean, you know, you can then apply the next argument to we've all been to nightclubs, and you've gone in the door and they've stamped your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not an expert on the law, but I watch a lot of law on TV. This is the same thing.
Well,
that walks down in my hand. That's a violation of my.
It's a difference because in the private action versus government action. This is a government action.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
The net result is going to be any place in these places that can't chalk the tires in order to measure the two hours is
they're
either
come up with something more draconian.
Well, most places they just take a picture of your car. Like, it's not like this is not, it's not possible to do things the other way. The chalking was convenient, but everybody's going to work around. It's not going to get anybody anything. It's not going to like free them from things.
It's true. If I'm now the parking dude, I can just look
at the car and write down the license plate number. I don't even have to take a picture, but I can take a picture.
If I'm the parking dude, I just stand at the end of the street. I take a picture. I come back with my iPad 2 hours later. I punch it up. I look at the street and I go, that dude is still here. I'm giving him a ticket.
Worse yet, they'll just say, well, let's just put a meter in. You didn't like 2 hour parking for free because of this stuff. We'll just put a meter in and you have to feed the meter.
And to be fair, like someone who's now sticking up for local government. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, like the only thing is this, you know, put people out of business or, you know, whoever makes the stick that you put the chalk in, the long stick so that people don't have to bend over.
But I actually think that's the same company that make the stick that they put the little mirrors underneath that check cars, you know, for bombs and everything.
Maybe.
So I would think in the current era that we're in.
In grade school, like they had like bamboo sticks, with like you put the chalk in there and had a little ring that would kind of lock down on it. I don't know if
you just put a little mirror underneath it so that you can put it under car to look for bombs or people trying to sneak across the border. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine in this day and age, there's plenty of business for those.
Yeah, so they're available.
Yeah, so there you go. No more. Well, did they make the ruling or are they going to rule on
it? No, that's the ruling. That was rule there. And so, like, I don't know if anybody's going to appeal it, but. Yeah, a lawyer from Saginaw is in Saginaw, Michigan, did not immediately respond to requests for comment. So who knows? Like I said, they probably, like, people are just going to go, like, what's the point? These guys are paying the butt. We'll just go ahead and do something different.
We got some upcoming, continuing with old news. Do you want to talk about the drone delivery? Apparently.
So they just started doing, it's
great state of Virginia.
Amazon, right? It's a company called Wing. It's the first to get an FAA. Air carrier approval for delivery of, and oh, I see, Wing is a delivery venture, part of the
Someone
Google family.
Someone delivered in
Blacksburg, Virginia, home of Virginia Tech, started doing these deliveries of things. And like, they basically say they're, at the moment, it's going to be almost nothing done, but they've gotten permission. The big thing about the permission is it's permission to deliver where the operator can't see the thing anymore.
Okay.
I think you could always, if you could see where the thing was going, you could have a drone move it over there. The big thing about this is it's going to go somewhere where you couldn't see anymore.
I read somewhere that a drone had delivered...
a baby?
No. Earth-shattering drone delivers kidney for transplant over Baltimore. This is in... I've just looked on my phone. This is WTOP, and I will read it to you. The drone delivery of a kidney recently used for an organ transplant in Baltimore is being characterized by the University of Maryland as a pioneering breakthrough advancement in human medicine and aviation technology. It's huge. We knew from the very first time that we met Dr. Joseph Scalia, and he suggested the idea of what he wanted to do. We knew it would be earth-shattering and life-changing, and it has really become that, said Matthew Scacero, director of the Unmanned Aircraft Systems Test Site at the University of Maryland. The Unmanned Aircraft Systems flight on April 19th through the city of Baltimore occurred at about 12:30 a.m. and was less than 3 miles, but represents a huge first step. I'm looking
here. There's a lot of reading going on here.
Yeah, but because I'd read it somewhere, and I actually thought that you would have brought this.
No.
The automated drone flew the route, carrying everything from a parachute to a radio tracking system, a video camera, and a box of sensors for the kidney that monitored its temperature, pressure, vibration, and location of the organ. Upon arriving at the University of Maryland Medical Center, the organ was successfully transplanted. The recipient is a 44-year-old Baltimore woman who has spent 8 years on dialysis. So the kidney arrived by drone and saved a woman.
As far as we know.
Who went home in an Uber, apparently. So, yeah. So we've got down there in Virginia, I read that obviously. So can you, I'm sorry I cut you off there. Can you follow up about down there in Blacksburg exactly what?
No, I mean, it's just going to be products that people buy. I don't think it's anything quite as dramatic as that. I'm looking here to try to see it. And I'm actually using a real newspaper.
I was using my phone.
Yes, I know. We all heard you read the entire article.
All right. Well, so the thingy yo's know. listeners.
They're basically doing a pilot effort where they try to figure out, people's reactions are to
Shouldn't
it.
Shouldn't that be pilotless effort?
Boom. Yeah. I sort of set you up for that one. All right, well, they mentioned that it's a noise that people, they basically confess that the noise is not really super duper like it, but it's unique enough noise that it's not like something else, and they're talking about doing all kinds of things to fix up the noise, make it less. I don't know.
That's people's issue. You're going to get your stuff the next day, and you're compared about that. You're worried about the noise.
I don't need a drone to get something the next day.
No. Well, I did read somewhere that Amazon are now going to be offering day of delivery.
Well, they already have that a lot of places. The point is,
they do. I've never got my stuff the day of.
Really?
I've got it the next day. I get it the next day.
Well, so the point is, even that, technically, I think Amazon Prime is mostly 2-day. Free delivery.
Okay.
And so they're trying to get it to the point where everything is next day.
Okay.
Or day of.
Then, it's going to need drones. Because I heard somewhere else that some Amazon drivers are complaining that they're being pushed too hard. Did you ever read that story?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I mean, again, I don't want to look for it on my phone and just start reading it to the listener.
Yeah.
But apparently, there's a lot of Amazon drivers are now complaining about the hours, the amount of packages and everything, because Jeff Bezos just doesn't care.
Well, that's true.
You got to pay for his divorce somehow. All right, in the upcoming, in continuing news, we're ready to go. Our next headline.
Yeah. So, the big news is NASA and FEMA. Although this one article is in Gizmodo talking about NASA and FEMA being, you know, people know what NASA is, people don't know FEMA is the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The other one I read said it was in conjunction with the European Space Administration, the ESA, which is kind of like the NASA for the EU.
European NASA.
Yeah, well, meaning like it's not just one nation. But they were doing what they call a tabletop exercise on an asteroid strike. And
right.
For people who don't know, like tabletop exercises are in all the security areas where you gather together the people in person or at least on a conference call who would make decisions. And you say, this has happened. And you go through like a simulated thing. And right. You might have some technology. It's I actually knew somebody or met somebody who would do what they called live red ball exercises,
yep.
Where they would have like a shooting in a building and a person would actually arrive at the front, like everybody was supposed to know what was going on, and they would arrive with a red ball and present it to the people at the reception desk and say, I'm the shooter, you know.
Okay.
But tabletop is more like everybody sitting around a room and talking about what you would do next. Okay, we're going to refer this. Who are we going to call? What are those people going to do? What are the actions to be taken? And the scenario that they paint is a asteroid, and they must sort of just like take different bites of time because they start with it basically being a year away.
Okay.
You know, they basically say, okay, this thing is way out there and there's some probability. I think they said they're going to spot something like this is a fictionalized version. On March 26, 2019, astronomers discover an asteroid in the night sky far dimmer than Pluto. They named it this so-and-so. Initially appears its eccentric orbit will bring it about 18 times the moon's distance from Earth, with a chance of hitting Earth as 1 in 50,000 in 2027. So not 1 year. This is like 8 years afterwards. And then like they basically speed go forward to the point where it's basically a one in a hundred chance. And then basically when it gets to something being a 1 in 100 chance, everybody's supposed to take action. That's a big enough chance that it could destroy Earth or something like that. And then they kind of talk about all the things they could do. And there's various interesting things. It's not on the main Gizmodo link, but they talk about things like, you know where this was? So what I followed this through was that the European Space Administration is running, because it's going on right now,
yep,
on their Twitter feed is going to run, make statements as to what they're doing next. Oh, like in our fictional little thing. And I think they have like a hashtag, like not real or some sort of hashtag.
Yeah, I was going to say, sure, all it takes like is some dude running the Twitter feed to forgot to add in hashtag not real.
Right.
And even if it's like, oh, let me run back. I'm halfway through going, getting my coffee thing. And oh, I forgot to add that.
So they set up things to follow. So like one of the things they mentioned as a possibility, because in the lead up, they're talking about things that can be done. And one is painting the side of an asteroid white, because apparently
what?
Because the white reflects light more, that for that amount of time and distance and the vacuum of space, you can actually theoretically move by the light reflecting more off of one surface, by the solar push on one side versus the other side. At least that's a theory. The other one is what they call a gravity tractor, where you would send a spaceship out there,
okay,
and there'd be enough gravitational pull from the device that it would just basically run alongside the asteroid and kind of pull it, you know, a certain amount of distance over, you know, like that far away, in theory, just a little bit of movement can result in a lot better outcome later on. So,
because I did feel when I read this article,
I like the idea of gravity tractor.
I actually kind of like, yeah.
There a band called Love Tractor? Mid-80s, I think.
It may have been, yeah. I'm trying to think now.
There was a Fighting Gravity. Gravity got together. They're actually having a reunion show in D.C. recently.
Oh, really?
So, yes, Fighting Gravity. But if they had a Fighting Gravity Love Tractor, they would
double bill. The problem with the simulation is, and it's great that they're practicing tracking it and figuring out if the imaginary asteroid would hit Earth. At the end of the day, we're no nearer a solution in terms of defending ourselves from asteroids. Because I understand, you know, with the, we can paint it light and we can send up the gravity tractor. I'm more concerned that those experiments have not actually proved definitively that any of these defenses are going to work.
Well, it's hard to run a scenario, right? You know, you don't...
Track on a computer is great, but at the same time, we need to figure out how to stop these things. That's my position.
I need to show you the picture. It's at ESA Operations is the Earth thing that's supposed to be running this
We'll tweet
Twitter.
We'll retweet that.
Well, by the time this goes out, it's going to be like...
It'll be finished. Earth will be destroyed, hypothetically.
It was a pretty funny picture. they posted a picture of a dinosaur with a telescope saying, all clear, guys, while an asteroid...
Yeah, see, that's not funny to me.
That's pretty funny.
That's not funny. That's a guy's T-shirt, but that's not funny.
These people,
they're not taking it seriously.
Here's the things where they paint the asteroid. They painted in white on the side, go away.
Yeah, again, this is like science humor, and I'm not funny. It's not funny to me.
It's funny Europeans, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, figure out how to stop the asteroids.
The problem is that once Brexit happens, you know, we're just going to steer the thing towards Britain. European Space Administration,
although, to be fair, right now, the fact that Brexit has not occurred...
It's been postponed in October.
We have quite a large window that we need to hope that asteroids don't show up because Brexit might not have occurred by then. Let me see. So there you go. If some dude down the coffee shop is talking about, oh my God, an asteroid strike, just know that he's simulating that panic in conversation, because this is a massive drill that all these people are running this week with their computers and that sort of thing. But frankly, it seems I don't know. I can't decide what's a more useless waste of time, this or the NORAD tracking Santa thing that goes on at Christmas Eve. It's both people tracking stuff in the sky with a whole...
I mean, which one's more likely?
Well, the asteroid strike.
Yeah, there you go.
So. Okay.
Hey, speaking of Twitter, did you see the thing about Leeds and Aston Villa today?
Yeah, I saw that. The fella let them score because he felt that they... Yeah,
I guess, you know. So people, this is if we want to make sure to drive anybody away from soccer as a real sport. Tell the story about...
So explain what happened.
People may know a lot of soccer games, when somebody gets injured and they're away from the play, it's sort of the gentlemanly thing to do to kick the ball out of bounds. And then the other team gives it back to you and we all resume play. It sort of
allows play to stop and allow the trainer to run on the field.
But Aston Villa is playing Leeds United in the second... it's championship, but it's just below the top flight in English soccer. And somebody was injured on Aston Villa, but the Leeds players did not stop, ahead and scored. Now, it looks like it was defended. It wasn't like it was not defended. I saw a highlight. Well, this led to a bunch of yelling on the sidelines, and the coach for Leeds said, okay, I guess must have said, you're right, and told his players to stay still while Aston Villa dribbled down the ball and kicked the ball into the net.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video, there's at least one fullback who is not with this program.
Apparently, that was the team captain, which results
in another little to-do there, because people are all like grabbing shirts and getting in fights out there as a result of the first goal, and now they're doing this one. And as far as I can tell, this sealed somebody's promotion. I don't think Leeds is a candidate to go up, but I don't...
Leeds, with the draw, which ensued at 1-1, because that's how the game finished, Leeds denied themselves a chance to be automatically promoted up.
Right, right.
It now meant that they...
They're going to be in the playoffs, a pretty small chance to begin with, but they had to win their next game, so now they're going to be in the playoffs.
And frankly, Aston Villa, who got a point in the game, they might play him in the playoffs. This actually happened 20 years. Something similar happened 20 years with my team, Arsenal, when they were playing, I think, Sheffield United in the FA Cup. And the FA Cup, for Americans here, is a knockout tournament that happens concurrently with your regular season.
Right.
And Arsenal scored, I think it was the winning goal, similar situation, guy was lying on the ground, they hadn't kicked it out, Arsenal won 2-1. There was a massive uproar, and the Arsenal player was like, well, I didn't even know the dude was down, I was just playing on, I didn't hear the whistle. So Arsene Wenger, the Arsenal manager at the time, he offered to replay the game, which they did. They replayed the whole game in its entirety. And that was still not good enough for some people, basically the Sheffield United manager, who complained that, well, by rights, the game should have ended 1-1, in which case we should have had a replay at our place. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, dude, take what you've been given, man. Yeah. So it has happened before, and it's a very odd thing, and it does... I don't know.
I mean, I think it was perfectly fair, but I think it's the kind of thing that, you know, any U.S. fans who have not really kept up with will go, what are these people doing? Like, why does that rule exist in the first place? Actually, I will say this. There's so much falling down fakely now that, like, the idea of this being a gentlemanly thing to do is a little bit of nonsense. I mean, if the play's moved away from it and people have their full defense, you know, like, it just seems...
Let me ask you a question. And it's hard because I know you're a Chelsea fan and your relationship with your manager right now is probably quite antagonistic.
Yeah.
But
he's going to do just enough to stay around.
I'm going to be curious to read on the internet this week how the Leeds fans feel about this decision coming from their own coach, manager during the game, telling his players to do that. I think that's really interesting. And I'd be curious. I can only imagine what would happen. And I think so much of it depends on how you feel about someone. Is how you're going to stand there and go,
put it this way. Kind of done the right if they manage to get promoted despite this, it'll be a funny story. If they don't,
yeah, he's gone. He's out of a job. Yeah. So the moral of the story is don't take any chances with sportsmanship.
Yeah. Of course, this did have a Chelsea involvement. So I saw some footage of a former Chelsea player. Oh my God, blanking out. From Aston Villa.
John Terry
yelling on the sideline and pointing fingers and stuff. So.
Yeah, but they got the goal back.
Yeah. Well, it's before the goal.
Oh, before. Scored, like, well, hopefully. Well, we're getting old. And now, this is what happens here now. At this moment, while I'll be interested to hear what the Leeds fans say about what happened, I would also now expect, I'll be interested to see what the attitudes of the other set of fans and that team is. Is it like... You know, you sort of like, well, you should have done that anyway. Or do you actually sort of go, that was a very gracious decision by... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone is caught in a strange way.
Yeah.
All right, so that's that. Let's move on. You're ready to talk a little bit about the Impossible Burger.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that one. So the Impossible Burger, for people who don't know, is a... Well, it's Impossible Foods is the company that's making it, and I've read a long article. It's been a little while, but I have enough information left in my head to fake my way through this. And it makes plant-based...
Just like the burger.
Well, this is part of the problem, is people are calling it plant-based meat. So put it this way. It's a burger made of plant materials, no animals, but it's really close to being like a real burger. And
no, it's really close to tasting like a real burger.
No, I mean, even so, this is the thing, is their big thing is they found this molecule, which they're calling heme, like hemoglobin. It's iron based sort of thing. And it comes from some genetically modified legume or algae or something like that. And they culture this stuff and they grow it in basically a lab. It's not like, you know, cut down a piece of corn in the farm and you know, crunch it up and put it into a burger, like those classic veggie bean burger kind of things.
And that's what I presume this was, but what you're telling me is that scientifically
it's much more chemically like meat. And what they say is that it's that molecule that gives meat its meaty flavor, like that you go, that's meat kind of thing. It chars a different way. It's got a, like, when you get one of these burgers, you can get a medium rare and it's red. You know, it's red inside, and if you cook it further, it will not be red.
Oh,
and it's because of what's happening to it. And so I've had it at there's a couple of local restaurant chains. Yeah. And it is very good. I mean, it tastes like a burger, you know. Considering how many bad burgers there are out there, this may not be like the best burger you've ever had, but it's well within the realm of burgers you'd want
to
eat.
Well, to your point, yeah. So there are bad burgers out there. There are also bad fake burgers out
there. Exactly, right.
So to be fair, I don't think I've ever had a good fake burger.
Well, this is, you might have to try it out. So it's there. It's, I think.
So let me stop you for a moment before you continue.
Go ahead.
So you said you tried it. You obviously knew you were eating it, but was there ever a moment that if you closed your eyes, you could see yourself being fooled?
Sure. Yeah, no. Like I said, I mean, it was a good enough burger.
That's what I'm saying. Was it good enough? If I stuck in front of you and didn't tell you it was fake, you'd just be jumping away going,
you might be like, you'd say it's a pretty good burger. It's not the best burger I've ever had, but you'd say it's a burger. You'd say it was meat.
Interesting.
Normally. And so there's another company called Beyond Meat or something like that. And theirs is not genetically engineered. It's much more of a traditional thing. I've not had that, but people say good things about it also. But their big thing in advertising against the Impossible Burger people is you know, it's not this genetically modified thing, which is where this thing, the item that's odd about this is it's not like healthier or, you know, it's not really better necessarily environmentally, and the genetic modification is something that creeps people out.
It just doesn't have cholesterol, or does it have that? Or is it just like we're not killing animals?
I don't like
is it a humane thing?
I don't know. I think that's probably what I'm saying. What's it? I think it's probably more like, hey, you don't have to farm an animal. And like right now, it's, you know, the cost to make it is higher. I think, you know, when they talk about if you could make this stuff more efficiently, it would be much easier and less resource intensive than real meat, and so people might have a good reason.
All right, I'm going to take a controversial position here.
Apparently, Burger King is rolling it out in some things.
Yeah, and I think already in the Midwest,
it's at Red Robin Burgers. You can get Impossible. So if you're not around a local DC chain, if you go to Red Robin, I think you can get an Impossible Burger. In fact,
you might have to get one from Burger King and do the real deal taste test. But we'll do it side by side. I'm going to take a controversial position right here.
Mm-hmm.
For you people who think it's a good thing that we have the fake burgers so that we can save the animals, if those animals don't get turned into food, where are they all going to live? Where would you put all these chickens and cows if we weren't eating them? They've all got to live somewhere.
Well, they don't live that long.
There you go. See, I've left a thought with everyone who's all like, save the animals. Where are all these chickens? There's going to be chickens everywhere.
I consider chickens in the road.
Cows everywhere. It's going to be like living in India where you have to give way to the cow. The cow is a sacred animal. So let me ask you about Impossible Foods, and they do have a website you
Beyond
can go
Burger
to.
Beyond Burger is the other one, and BurgerFi, which is, I guess, a newer chain. We don't seem to have them here, but I saw some good things about BurgerFi.
Because all those old products, all those old products are just basically soy.
Well, beans, soy. They use a lot of black beans and stuff to give it that sort of thing.
But what you're saying is the Impossible Food product is in its raw
I think it does have
steak.
Let's see if it has the information.
Raw uncooked steak, rather.
See, the key ingredients in Beyond Meat, this is not the Impossible Burger, is pea protein, canola and coconut oils, yeast extract, and beet juice extract, which gives the uncooked patty a reddish color that bleeds into the pan.
Okay.
It's, you know, this article I'm reading is really focused on the Beyond Burger, so it's not too helpful here, but let's see if...
Just go ahead and read the article.
Oh, yeah. So, like... this is funny.
Because you gave me stick about reading the article. Yeah, and
eat,
I was
this, from Eat This, Not That has certain facts about the Impossible Burger. Plant-based heme, which is... Heme, which enables blood to take oxygen through the body. Red meat is stocked full of this stuff. It's also found in plants. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see.
Is what I'm going to say a true statement? At a cellular level, it's quite similar.
I think that's the idea.
The product they've created.
Vitamins, amino acids, sugars for flavor.
I can't.
Has just as much protein as real meat.
But if it's not healthier. See, here's the thing now. And again, I've just made sort of a controversial statement, and I'm now going to make another one. If it's really not healthier for me, what do I care?
Well, I'm not sure. Again, you don't want to eat animals.
Yeah, okay. So that's
apparently it saves a lot of water because the amount of water it takes to grow this thing much less than the water you got to give to grow a cow.
So in a strange way, it's not really a meatless burger. It is a more ethically clean burger.
Yeah,
because in a strange
iron levels
way,
are on a par.
In a strange
with
way, if it's sharing a lot of DNA with meat. And I know I'm being very simplistic.
Not DNA, but DNA with meat would be.
So I don't mean DNA with meat, but I mean in terms of
chemical composition.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to use the term DNA much loosely. I'm going to use it as like,
very, very loosely.
It's got the same DNA. If it's got some of the same things as meat, then I don't know. It's a bit odd. Because I'm not one of those, I must confess. I did go through a period where I did try. A long time ago, I tried, you know, when they first came out, I think there's a couple, there was like Morningstar and someone else with the big brands of veggie burgers. And I tried them and then I got put it all off in general because someone had told me that if you eat too much soy, it gives you breasts if you're a man. So I wanted to stay off soy. So that's what I heard. That's my vote.
Science. I'm sure that's science.
Yeah. Well, that's something for another show. You know, I've tried them and it's interesting. Psychologically, I'm never able to fool myself into having, this is a meat substitute. No, I'm not having a burger. I'm having another product that just happens to be shaped like a patty.
Yeah.
So in a strange way, it just allows me to get buns.
If I were you, before you go to Burger King and try it out, you should try it out at least at Red Robin or one of the restaurants.
Okay. No, we'll do that.
You want to try a well-made one. So that's the story of the meet.
Okay, so we will try that. That'll be upcoming. Mm-hmm. And that'll be upcoming, but upcoming in a while, because somewhere soon on the docket is the infamous Atlantic Voice Summer Movie Preview, our two-part Summer Movie Preview.
That's right. Well, it's got to be next. I mean, at this point,
probably be next. By the time we get Entertainment Weekly and get it all lined up, we'll as in prior years, we'll be looking at all the summer movies and giving our predictions by watching the trailers and letting you know, is it going to be a hit? Is it going to make money? Is it going to be critically acclaimed? I only go through this
letting people know is sort of loose. It's predictions.
It's predictions, yeah. And like I say, last year, I'm very happy that I actually won for the first time. So I'm now 1-7-1.
What I have to examine, I need to get out my my computing system to figure this out, is that, was there a trend there? Was it just, an outlier?
What, like, me winning?
Well, just meaning, is there a trend in the movie industry that would reflect, that would make it easier for you to answer things? Because the past few years, you couldn't go wrong by overestimating. It just seemed like you could say more movies made money than you expected, kind of thing. And last year was tougher, and I don't know if that rewarded your cynicism.
But you know me, I'm a one-trick pony.
I know you're not going to change, but the point is, do I need to change because the world has changed in order to continue to beat you?
Well, that's another thought. Yeah. Talking of the changing world and talking of movies, we did want to have a little bit of movie conversation about some films coming out now.
I mean, the entertaining thing is, like, so one of the things, and I'm sure we'll complain about it when we get on, is that the summer movie season is not... This is the first thing to talk about. Like, the summer movie season really is starting much earlier. Like, so this past weekend, the Avengers Endgame came out and destroyed records. Like, I think it had the biggest weekend opening of all time, north of $1 billion globally, something like 300. It's already made more equal money, I think, overall, as the Marvel Captain Marvel movie, and it's only been out for one weekend. The Captain Marvel movie has still been in the rankings for like 2 months or whatever it's been now, and it's gonna crush. And it's gotten glowing reviews, like 4 stars. Just saying it was a great treatment of the ending here, mixture of humor with sentimentality and all this sort of stuff.
It's also very long. So it's kind of nearly like 3 hours.
Luckily,
I don't watch these movies.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering whether now you should, like, maybe you need to catch up on them all. But the, it's over. Like, you know, we always predict what's the biggest movie this summer. Well, this is already the biggest movie this summer, and it's probably going to be out all summer long.
To be fair, it's not the biggest movie this summer, is it? Because it came out in April.
I know. So but you know what I'm saying. Kind of like, what big deal is it to predict the biggest movie this summer if a movie that came out a month before the summer started is still going to make more money than all of them over the summer?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying is
the prediction of it. Like, it's not that it is the biggest, but we're not predicting anything that's important anymore. It's already lost.
Yeah, because in theory, by the time the summer movie preview comes out around Memorial Day, that movie will still be in the cinemas and will still be trumping everything out.
I mean, look how Captain Marvel's been going. This movie will probably be in the theaters until end of July.
Yeah.
You know, like, just bringing in the money each time, you know.
Do you watch the Avengers movies?
I have, yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, I know some people go, like, immediately, but, I mean, they're pretty cool, you know. Okay. I mean, like, I'm a little tired of Robert Downey Jr. And of course, he started it all. But the fact that it's almost interesting, like, this is the thing, and this is what the way comic books work, right? This is why it's interesting, is it's interesting both in for what it is, like the story, and at a meta level of like, oh, they've taken the franchise here and they've made a funny one with Guardians of the Galaxy. How are they going to mash that in? And then they do one with Paul Rudd. Like, I think Paul Rudd plays a big role in this new one because he and the movies he's done so far were very light comparatively, and yet they figure out a way to mesh this stuff all together. The fact that they have, like, you have superheroes who are like real scientific superheroes, you know, like, I don't know, Hulk has got his radiation thing and all that, but then you have Thor, who's like somebody comes from some other planet and wields this hammer around that just flies through space and time. It's kind of weird.
I was trying to think about your statement there that on the meta level, obviously the notion is this is the end of an era. I also think it's slightly dangerous. And because it's going to lead me to, you know, it's going to lead us to a quick discussion that the next Star Wars movie trailer came out. We're not going to play the trailer or talk about it in that which way, but we are going to talk about Star Wars. They announced this week there's another James Bond movie. with Daniel Craig, and it's apparently going to be his last one. James Bond's been around
about
for,
time.
Yeah, 55, 60 years. Not Daniel Craig, but the James Bond movie series is.
No, I'm saying it's about time for Daniel Craig.
Yeah. So, what, to have a movie or to move on?
To move on. Like he said he was going to move on like two movies ago, and he just keeps hanging around.
So, you know, one of the rumors had been that originally Danny Boyle from, and I'm going to come back to Avengers, so bear with me with this. One of the rumors, originally Danny Boyle, who'd made Trainspotting and a few other things, Slumdog Millionaire, had been attached, and him and his buddy had written a treatment where the rumor was that maybe James Bond died.
Mm-hmm.
And then no one liked the idea, so he backed out, and they got the guy from True Detective in to do it. But there's the notion, you know, obviously being on the internet, well, you can't kill James Bond. You can't have an end. Certain series get to a stage where there isn't an end. So at a meta level, there's a part of me, obviously this Avengers Endgame movie is going to be huge. But is there a danger that something is advertised as the ending of something from a business standpoint? Or is it almost predictive where because you know they can't top this, you therefore set up
the
media up for, don't worry, the next movie on the other side of this isn't going to make as much as that because that was the end of an era. Do you know what I mean? I think it's always
business-wise.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of talking about. It's like, ooh, do people really want to be advertising Avengers Endgame as the end?
Well, is it really the end? It's the end of this cycle. Like, so that's why.
So what's the next cycle then? And as an other comic book guy, it's easy for me to ask these questions. I should know the answer.
Captain Marvel, you know, because they just introduced her.
Okay.
New spider guy, kid. Apparently somebody's going to take over for Captain America. Like, it's his sidekick is now going to step into the role of Captain America. And then they're mixing in all the Wakanda folks. That's a new part of it. Like, and what? So like. The Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
You know,
all right. So they're mixing all these things. Movies.
So it's not 100%. It's basically closing out people like Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. It's going to close out like
some of those dudes.
Some of the ones who've been there from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like even like I said, like Captain America, it'll be a different guy. Like the same people on the back. But this is what in the comic books, of course, they would just reboot them.
Well, they do all the time. I mean, how many times has Superman died in the comic books?
This could be rebooted. Well, so see, that's and then the X-Men. This is what X-Men is. X-Men is also a Marvel item, but has never really crossed over with this stuff because people have different rights and setup. But the X-Men, everybody always gives it a hard time. I haven't seen all the X-Men movies, but they're constantly moving around.
The X-Men,
even though even the younger generation group. Because there's an X-Men movie out now.
Yeah, so let me backtrack for a minute. I've caught all these things hindsight, and there needs to be a couple of recognizable stars for me to sit through it. So either Patrick Stewart's in it, or Michael Fassbender's in it, or Wolfman Jack is in it, Wolverine is in
it. Well, Wolverine, they just made the same character all the way through, whether it was young or old.
Like if there's an X-Men movie without any of those actors, I don't really care that much.
Well, it's got them all.
As long as some of these actors are in it, then I'll probably give it a go on cable.
James McAvoy. So that you've got them all.
Ian McKellen. Yeah. But what I'm saying is if you make an X-Men movie without any of
I don't think they have.
If they were, who's in this one?
Well, it's got to be McAvoy. It's a young generation.
But is it other people playing those characters? Because at that moment, I'm not interested.
Like the woman from Game of Thrones, which we should talk about too.
I don't watch that either.
Well, it's Sansa Stark. Okay. It's whatever her name is.
You can do that show on your own because I'll just sit here going, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I tell you, you're missing out. It's an excellent year so far. Tonight is the big battle episode.
When Game of Thrones ends, we will have in the same way that we wrapped up Westworld, we will wrap up Game of Thrones. And I promise I will do some research, if nothing else, to steer your conversation. All right, but this is my point here. If they're making an X-Men movie without any of those actors, I'm not interested. Okay. I don't want to see Wolverine playing by someone else.
Well, but I mean, somebody will.
I know somebody will, but I'm not interested.
But anyway, that's the X-Men's a whole different thing. Anyway, the Avengers thing, they're going on there. So anyway, biggest movie. So we were talking about movies. You already mentioned the Bond thing. The other movie you alluded to, is the Star Wars.
Okay, but I do want to tie it into our conversation here. James Bond doesn't get to end. No one's going to kill that Golden Goose franchise. Well,
you could, but
not going to happen. Although I must say this, if you did have an end to James Bond movie, you'd probably break rocks.
The only reason they can't kill him and reboot is because they haven't done it before. Right? Like, that's the thing is, break that seal to basically say, like, you know what?
In the comic books, you're always whacking people.
Yeah. Like, once you've done it a couple of times, it's easy.
All right, so I'm now going to play that. I'm going to now apply that logic to Star Wars. This the upcoming trailer, we're not going to play the trailer because we're going to have a couple of shows where we're playing trailers. What's it called? It's called The last one was Last Jedi.
It's the Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of something Skywalker. Okay. But at the end of the day, it's the last one with all these characters in it. It's the last one with a lot of these dudes in it. So the last one with
Luke Skywalker. The old characters. We don't know if it's going to be the last one with Finn and
Rey. No, Finn's already said, I think I've done after this.
I'm just saying.
Okay, but so where does Star Wars go next?
No, they're going to do more trilogies. You know, they're going to set them before.
But with who?
Well, they could either get new actors or they could have some people play the older versions of themselves. It's not going to be the same. I mean, it's supposed to be, each of these trilogies is supposed to be a set.
Okay. Because they've tried the new actor thing and it didn't work out great.
No, what do you mean?
Well, they tried the new actor playing Han Solo.
Oh, well, that's a one-off. That's not part of the main axis things here.
But to your knowledge, they haven't decided where they're going next.
No, I mean, this is the franchise of Star Wars is very much in flux for various reasons because of Disney trying to figure it out. Because those movies did not do as well as they'd hoped.
No.
The one-off movies, although Rogue One did well.
They're
taking lessons out of this stuff. So. And a lot of people complained about the last movie. I mean, people already complained about that trailer just to sort of...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, well, Star Wars fans are the worst.
Well, so...
The worst.
I don't know. Different people are... here's the thing. Whenever you hear people complain, right, and people are like, oh, people are always complaining no matter what, it's not the same people, right?
A
lot of people complained about the last one because they were breaking free of all these traditional Star Wars things.
Yeah.
You know? Well, this one... Maybe the trailer gives the impression they've overlearned their lesson because it has Leia, it has Luke. And first of all, Leia is dead, right?
The actress is dead.
But there's a scene right in the trailer of her hugging the person.
The rumor is Han Solo is going to be in flashback.
At the end of it, they have the laughter of the Emperor. The Emperor from some odd 30 years ago, like somehow he's been living in the ether, ever since.
Did he die in the last movie?
No, the Emperor from before, meaning the guy who, like Darth Vader, threw down the well.
All right, I'm confused. I just get confused with all these characters.
Yeah,
anyway. Who is the dude that died in the last movie, the old man?
Snoke. Yeah.
Okay.
So what people are thinking...
You know, I was about to say that Star Wars, they need to get away from having the Death Star in it, but right now I'm completely confused, and perhaps only having the Death Star back would give
You just won't go watch them, so it doesn't really help.
I've seen all of them up to now, but I am actually in... I am very much of a state where I probably won't see this one unless you said to me, I will buy your ticket and take you to Star Wars.
I'm already telling you. If that's the case, then I'm going to buy the ticket and tell you to Star Wars. I mean, we need things
to
talk about on the podcast.
I'm going to Star Wars for free. Then I'll go to Star Wars.
All right.
I'm not going to pay for it, though.
Right.
I was really disappointed the last time.
What one are you talking about? Han Solo thing?
No. Not the Han Solo one. The last one with Luke Skywalker in it.
Okay.
But I did enjoy the one that didn't have any of them in it. I really enjoyed that. Rogue One, yeah.
You have to organize your thoughts, right?
I know.
Visually, it looked pretty cool. They had some scene where, like, Rey, like, is going to flip over and she's going to chop into a TIE fighter or something. But it wasn't much trailer other than that. It's very early teaser trailer.
Yeah.
But it had these voices, like, in the back. Like, you didn't see the characters, but you heard the Emperor's voice and heard things. And the fact that it's called The Rise of Skywalker, well... As far as we know, Luke Skywalker is the only Skywalker, and so now.
But as far Leia Skywalker? I mean, if they're related, don't they have the same last name?
Yeah, but she's supposed to be dead too.
Okay,
but
that's true. Yeah.
Again, from the theory that the people who complain aren't the same people. Now everybody's complaining because, like, wait, I thought they were going to break free of all the old stuff, and now here they are bringing in the oldest kind of stuff, like people who died six movies ago, kind of thing.
Well, so this is an interesting thing. I mean, it's dead serious. Because Star Wars, unlike the Avengers, and I guarantee that, I don't know, I would offer that there is a large percentage of the audience for these Avengers movies that have never gone into their local convenience store and spent a quarter on one of the comics. That's the nature of modern. I don't think people read comics as much as maybe they used to when we were kids. But I've always said, you know, the Avengers has this whole folklore of characters that you can sort of go to and people can go, well, I guess, you know, whatever. Star Wars is different. It has to sort of invent and introduce you to people.
No, it's not already a library. It wasn't books or something
before. Star Wars has got to do it all on screen.
Yeah.
I think that's my point.
So this is, you were mentioning like where Star Wars is going to go. So one of the big things they've talked about is, you know, I don't know how long we've gone at this point because we're set up in a way I can't see the clock anymore. But
I will turn the clock towards. There you go. You still got time.
Okay.
Still got time, yeah.
So Disney announced its streaming service. You know, they're going to have a standalone service. And Disney, for people who forget, owns not only all the obvious Disney stuff, but all the Star Wars stuff now, all the Marvel stuff now.
Oh, that's right.
And Fox Studios now, right?
Yep.
So they have tons and tons of properties. And what they've said, like right now, a number of those movies you can get on Netflix, you can get on streaming on cable and things like that. As the rights deals expire, they're pulling them all back. So, like, the only place you're going to be able to get Marvel movies and the only place you're going to be able to get Star Wars movies is going to be on Disney streaming service, which they have also said they're going to price at, I forget if it's $6.99. It's cheap compared to Netflix. Netflix just raised its
price.
Netflix
just put its money up.
It's half the price. Yes. Half the price of Netflix. And Disney's like, we're bringing everybody home, and we're going to have this control over this stuff. And one of the things they're introducing is going to be a Star Wars based series that won't be like off the main plot. It's more like Rogue One, and it's an offshoot. It's called like The Mandalorian. I think it has something to do with the Boba Fett group, and it's gonna, and people have seen like sneak stuff and say it's pretty cool.
I have myself, and I go, well, it looks cool.
Yeah. So, you know, this is why I say like Disney's, they don't even know what they're gonna do for the next set of movies, because they may look at this stuff and go, well, you need to put movies out. We could put this stuff on our streaming service and look how much money we make or something like that. I don't know what they're going to do. But like it's an open field right now as to what's going to happen to Star Wars. So, I mean, yeah.
So I guess I'm going to leave you with an extra question. Based on what you've just told me, though, do you think we're getting to the moment, and I'm sure we will talk more about this when we get to the summer movie preview. Do you think we're getting to the moment that things will not need to live in sort of the popular access for it to be successful? Like, if Disney is sitting around going, well, we don't even need to do that, we can just bung it out on our own channel. I don't know. Maybe it's part of me, that one who is constantly 3 days behind everyone else. No, if it's not in the cinema, you can't expect to make money. But what you're telling me is that's not the case, right?
Like, and how do you figure out that measurement, right? You know how much a movie makes. You can figure out the budget. Like, this is one of the – there's different businesses where you can tell how much money you're making, how much you don't.
Yeah.
If you're a plumber, you know how much it costs to go places. You know how much you get paid. You can be at the end of the day, be like, that's how much money I made. If you're Netflix or you're Disney or something, how do you know how much money you made from making one movie? You're not selling ads. Like, even like TV shows, or at least, well, I put the TV show out. There's this much overhead I got to cover. There's how much I got to pay the actors. I do this stuff, and I make a certain amount of money off the advertisements I sell on a TV show. If you're HBO, now that's harder. How do you figure out how many people subscribe to your service because you had Game of Thrones? You know, and you have to do – I'm sure there are people out there that can say how much money they think they're making, but who the heck knows, right?
I read a story this week that Netflix have access to a number of very recent BBC dramas that do well on the TV in England.
Yeah.
And apparently the BBC had made noises about, we need to revisit our next Netflix contract, because ultimately – why are we having them put it out there when we could be putting it out there? I was interesting too.
Well, and NBC is going to run out of it. Like, CBS already has its all access thing where they put some private
Star
stuff
Trek
on
Trek and everything on it. Yeah.
And all their old back catalog. NBC says they're going to put their stuff out there, which presumably means, because I saw they said they're probably going to take Friends back off of Netflix, which is a huge, like, Netflix and Friends is like a big thing for young people.
Yeah.
And so, you know. But this is not a good end game for anybody, right? Like, if every single thing is a separate streaming thing, I mean, how am I handling that stuff? I mean, I guess at some point my TV becomes my cable box, and as long as somebody creates a system where I can press a remote and go from the thing to the other thing I want, I guess that works. But you've kind of taken the middleman.
No, we're just replacing. We're replacing what I always. I remember for years with Trumpet, why don't cable just charge me a certain price and let me pick 15 channels for that price?
Right.
But in a strange way now, yes, this is now what's occurring. So for the customer, yeah, you're not getting a bad deal. You're just paying the same price for a different sale.
Yeah.
So yeah, I find it interesting, and I find the notion of, you know, again, because I'm someone who's behind, how something is delivered now is as important as how it's as what it's being delivered. Whereas back in the old days, there was that inbuilt sort of caste system of movie, TV.
Yeah, no,
home entertainment.
Like in terms
that
of
stuff is yesterday's news.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. All right, so a quick extra question. Are you excited for the Star Wars? You've seen the Star Wars trailer?
No, I'm not excited yet. I mean, like, you know, I have certain concerns around it. I mean, I'm going to go see. I'm excited enough to say I'm excited to find out what it is.
Okay.
I'm not excited like, hey, it's going to be the greatest thing I've ever seen because okay. I don't know what the heck it's going to be anymore.
All right. All right, so there's your show. We will be back. I think next time probably will be the summer movie preview, and we will not be talking Star Wars and not be talking Avengers. And we will have to in-house set up the rules for how to handle Avengers.
Well, I mean, it's a done deal already, man. We've got to take it out of
the picture. All right, so we take it out. All right, this has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.